your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. This is the verse that the Lord hath laid upon my heart for this ministry, and my personal verse for this year of 1989. Every year I try to get a personal verse, and I just don't go random through the Scriptures and shut my eyes and throw a dart. But I ask the Lord to give me a verse. And God gave me this verse. And I believe that's not only of my own personal verse, but I would like for us as a church to adopt it this year. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Let's bow our head for just a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage, our hearts truly cries out to Thee, Lord, teach us to pray. And our Father, we know not what to ask for. We know not, Lord, how to pray. So many times we study the theory of prayer, but Lord, we just need the practice of prayer. And Thou hast said, you have not because you ask not. And our Father, I ask Thee today to may this passage burn in the hearts of our people. May every one of us get us a prayer list, have us a time to pray. May every one of us pray for each other, pray for our missionaries, pray for our staff evangelists, pray, Lord, for our staff, and pray for the ministries that Thou hast given us. Pray, Lord, for each other, and pray for the ministries of fundamental Baptist churches across the nation. Lord, may this truly be a verse that will mean much to us. Lord, whatever it takes to get this church to pray, put us on our knees. May there be a spirit of prayer in the house of God, and may truly that this place become a house of prayer. And our Father, we know that Thou hast ordained the local New Testament assembly to propagate the gospel. Lord, Thou hast not called any other organization or any other man-made organization to propagate the gospel. Lord, Thou hast ordained the local New Testament assembly to preach the gospel. You put it all together. And Lord, help us to realize the source of our power is prayer. And help us to get plugged into that source. And as we face a new year, Lord, give us revival in the pulpit. Give us revival in the pew. Give us revival in our parents. Give us revival, Lord, in our schools, and give us revival in our church planting ministry. Send the gospel around the world. Help us to realize the importance of this local church and the importance of prayer. Lord, build a great fire in our soul, and may we be on fire. And Lord, I ask Thee to start with this preacher. Lord, I pray that you'll touch us and help us to preach with clarity tonight. In Jesus' name, fill us with the Holy Ghost thou hast promised, and we accept that promise by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The importance of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. The heart cry of every believer surely must be, Lord, teach us to pray. If that is not the heart cry of every believer, then there's something drastically wrong with our spiritual life. We know so much about prayer. We've read so much about it. We've talked so much about it. We've preached so much about it. Yet we know next to nothing about prayer. Prayer is the simplest thing in the world to do, and yet the most difficult thing in the world to do. You see, prayer is not a fleshly exercise. Prayer is a spiritual exercise. Therefore, it is not habit-forming. The flesh does not want to pray. The spirit has to make the flesh pray. And the flesh must be made to pray. We don't want to pray, humanly speaking. But my desire is that we will realize that prayer could revive the church and transform this old sin-cursed world into a blazing prairie fire of revival. And we must start in the home. You must be burdened about prayer. I must be burdened about prayer. And I believe that one of the greatest needs of the hour is for us as a church to cry, Lord, teach us to pray. And we do not need to be taught how to pray. It's not the theory of prayer that we need to know, but rather the power, the persistence, and the practice of this amazing spiritual exercise that is called prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Someone has said that the average fundamental Baptist preacher in America spends less than 5 minutes a day in prayer. That was a statistic given by a fundamental Baptist evangelist that is well known in this country. And as I heard that, I thought, oh dear God, if that be so, then how much time do our people give themselves to prayer? Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord Jesus was probably the greatest example that the Bible has of a prayer warrior. He used many verbs to set forth his mission, his truth and his love and his life and his death and his work and his nature and his hatred for wrong and his approval of right. He uses many verbs such as, I make, I say, I profess, I knew, I will, I have, I send, I think, I put, I speak, it is I give, I suffer, I ask, I go, I set, I break, I hear, I judge, I seek, I know, I receive, I live, I rise, I have chosen, I have called, I say, I proceed, I honor, I work, I lay down, I take, I wash, I tell, I love, I leave, I talk, I go, I see, I show, I overcame, I glorified, I manifested, I kept. Now these are just many verbs that our Lord uses. But one of the most potent verb, and one that is a peak and of zenith that stands all by itself is the word I pray. God in the flesh, pray. If I could only comprehend, and if we could let that get a hold of us, the weight of that verb, I pray. And if you, and don't look now, but in John chapter 17, Jesus says, I pray four times in John's Gospel of John 17. Jesus is a teaching in John's Gospel and is presenting himself as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the divine teacher, as the soul winner, as the great physician, as the bread of life, as the water of life, as the light of the world, as the miracle worker, as the good shepherd, as the resurrection, as the life, as the King of Israel, as the humble servant, as the royal comforter, as true vine, sender of the Holy Spirit, a model sufferer, conqueror of death, restorer of repentance. But in the same passage, he says, I pray four times. Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 6:9 says, pray ye. Jesus is teaching his disciples. Luke 21:36, Jesus says, pray always. In Matthew 9:38, we read, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. Matthew 5:44. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou shuttest thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus said, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither in the Sabbath day. Matthew 24:20. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is emphasizing the importance of prayer. Notice, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, believe that you've received them and you shall receive them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Mark 11:24. Jesus is emphasizing the importance of prayer. I could go on and on and on and on and on and show the example throughout the Scriptures that men that do things for God pray. In the Old Testament, you can just start down. Abraham was a man of prayer. He prayed, and God delivered Lot. Moses was a mighty intercessor. If Moses and God had ever gotten together on the one, God was going to destroy Israel, and Moses was intercede, and God wouldn't destroy him. Then Moses would say, destroy him, and God would say, no, I can't do it. But Moses was a great prayer warrior. Elijah was a great prophet of prayer. Hezekiah, the praying king. Ezra, the praying reformer. Nehemiah, he prayed before he built the wall. Samuel, he was a prayed. Hannah prayed and God gave her Samuel. Daniel prayed. Paul prayed. And the Word of God is filled with examples after examples after examples of men praying. We're commanded to pray. Listen. Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee. Psalm 50:15. Ye people, pour out your hearts before me. 2:8. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Folk, are these promises real? Is this the infallible book that I'm speaking from? Are these promises as real as the omnipotent power of an omnipotent God? God's Word, God's integrity is at stake. Let this get a hold of you. And let's leave this first Sunday of 1989 with a Holy Ghost determination that we are going to be a prayer warrior, that we're going to pray. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, Mark 14:38. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Listen, James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. I am saying that the Bible says that my house shall be called a house of prayer, not a house of preaching. And although I don't mean to minimize the importance of preaching, but God said my house shall be the house of prayer. On Wednesday night, we gather here and we pray. We get in our little groups and our prayer groups and we pray. We're going to do more of that. And we're going to have some prayer, cottage prayer meetings. And we're going to pray. In our homes, we're going to pray. We're going to set aside a week, or we'll set aside a day a week to where we have family time, to where we can pray and turn off the boob tube and spend some time with the family and pray. Enjoy the family. You'll be surprised. Your wife is a pretty good companion. She's pretty smart. She married you. We need to spend some time with each other, fellowship with each other, praying, spend time with each other. Now watch this. Let me give you something. The Lord Jesus said, he told others to pray. He prayed himself. Jesus said, I go and pray yonder, Matthew 26. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, John 14:6. Listen. Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, John 17:5. You want me to continue? Listen, Jesus spent much time in secret prayer, Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. This is God in the flesh. Pray. Then cometh Jesus unto them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Matthew 26:36. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Mark 1:35. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 5:16. And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Luke 9:18. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught others to pray. The disciples came and heard him praying. And I could go on and go on and go on and go on and give you example after example. The Bible is filled with prayer promises. The Bible is filled with men admonishing men to pray. The Bible is filled with examples of our Lord praying. The Bible is filled with examples of our Lord admonishing us to pray. And the biggest sin in Tabernacle Baptist Church and the biggest sin in my life is the sin of prayerlessness. Will you admit to that? We are too busy we're doing good things. I counseled about 3 hours with a mother this week, last week. She's losing her boy. She hasn't already. And finally she broke down and she began to weep and she said, "We're so busy in our church, Pastor, we don't have time for our kids." I said, "Shame on you." She said, "My husband works and works and works 5 days a week. Then on Saturday and Sunday, he is so busy." I said, "Look, can't he take, it was so busy working in the church, take that boy with him." Lord, teach us to pray. I want us to look at this passage. I can give you several outlines. God's just given me outline after outline for it. But I want you to look at it with me. I want you to see that the prayer, public prayer and private prayer, and why were they motivated to pray? Why did the disciples, what motivated them to say? Notice it says, he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, that means that they stood there and waited and listened to him pray. And there was a motivation. There was a burning. There was a hunger and a yearning in their heart to want to be able to have that kind of communion with God. Have you ever heard people pray and you said, "I wish I could pray like that"? Have you? I had called on a dear brother in our church to come up and pray, and he comes and prays. And Dr. Paisley said to me, "He's been at the throne before." He's been at the throne before. Just the way you address, just the way you talk. Lord, teach us to pray. And what motivated these men? And I looked at that, and I said to myself, "Oh my dear Lord, help me to have that burning that the disciples had." And they said unto him, "Lord." Now notice, that's sovereignty. That's the sovereign God. Lord, that is the sovereign, that's the master. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." What motivated them? I think two things. Number one, what they had observed. They observed the Lord Jesus praying. They had heard Him praying. They saw Him praying. They watched His life. They saw when He is under pressure. They saw when they wanted to stone Him. They saw when the officials were upon Him. And He was calm. He was not harassed. He was not in anger. And they saw the tender Lamb of God with the pressure and the weight of the world upon Him. And they heard Him pray. And they observed Him. You can tell a man that walks with God. You can tell a man that has a prayer life. And prayer is the way of blessing. Prayer is the key that unlocks the door to the treasure chest. And that word closet, when you go into your closet, you shut the door. That word closet, Dr. Strauss, I got to be careful whenever he's around. Literally means treasure chest. If you look up the Greek word, You got your Greek book there, I'm afraid. But that literally means treasure chest, the closet. Isn't that wonderful? When you go into your closet and get on your face, your prayer is the key that unlocks the treasure chest, that God can give you nuggets. God can give you blessings. God can answer your prayer. God can show you the way through the wilderness. God can give you strength when you're weak. God can give you light out of darkness. God can make a way when there is no way. All you have to do is get on your face before God. God can give you a job, Jim, when you don't have a job. I believe that. Brother, if I didn't believe that, I'd get out of ministry and quit. Lord, they observed Him. Lord, the sovereign God. Now, they used the Master as an illustration. Our Lord would teach us in this as an example. It is an example of His prayer that called forth the request for destruction. Notice His life of prayer. He was in constant communion with God. I'm so glad I'm finally getting my books lined up to where I can get alone and study. My wife and I was joking this afternoon. And I said, "This is my study. Keep your old books out of my study. Don't you mess up my study. This is mine. I'm gonna sanctify every square inch of that place. And I want to get alone in there and shut that door. Take the phone off the hook, tear out the electricity, and lock the door. And get alone and stay with God till I can hear from God." Lord, teach us to pray. God answer prayer for you. Do you believe that? And notice, the disciples noticed, and they had a deep moving, and they were deeply impressed. They were deeply motivated. So the first thing you see out of the Lord, you see the sovereign God, you see a desire for prayer. Hey, when they heard Him praying, they had a burning desire to pray. And they had observed His life. And they had observed Him praying. And they thought, oh, I have a desire to pray. My prayer is that God will put a burning desire in our hearts to pray. They noticed how He rose up early, a great while yet before day. Moved off to a quiet place and prayed. They saw His hunger for fellowship with His Heavenly Father. Dr. Norm Marks and I was up in the New York City, right in the heart of that place, staying in a third-story building in an attic with no air conditioning in the hottest part of the summer. And we were sleeping on little cots. And I'll never forget it. It was so hot. Man, my bed was wet with sweat. And I remember about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, I couldn't sleep, and I rolled over and looked. And I saw old Norm Marks on his knees, down, praying. I never said anything to him. He never said anything to me. But the many times and the many nights and the many hours that I've slept in the rooms with great men, I've seen them on their knees in the midnight hour praying. And I thought, oh God, give me a desire for prayer. Secondly, the disciples saw the discipline in His life. They noticed the desire for prayer, but they also, the disciples saw the discipline in His life. This could only come by prayer. They saw the deep peace amidst the crowd, day and night. They saw Him never, He never got frustrated. He never got angry. He never got to the place to where He was ready to throw in the towel and quit. They notice the inward strength at all times of our Lord had. And they knew it came from a disciplined life. And then the disciples saw the direction of his prayer life. They'd seen the depth and the detail of his life. The prayer that had brought out their desire, and they cried, "Oh Lord, teach us to pray." And I believe probably the best place for us to learn to pray is at our mother's knee. Must have been Jesus. Must have prayed by Mary. Mary harbored all those things in her heart, knowing maybe he began to pray at his mother's knee. And at 12 in the temple, he prayed at his baptism. He prayed on the mountainside. He prayed when he preached he preached at Chorazin and Bethsaida. He said in Luke 10:21, "I thank thee, O Father, God of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight." He prayed at the Last Supper. He prayed in private words. You know, a lot of times, very few prayers of what our Lord prayed are recorded in the Word of God. Many times it says he prayed, but very few times are his prayers recorded. John chapter 17, the veil is lifted and we hear him pour out his soul to God. And we see his very heart overflow to God. And as we read John chapter 17, and I challenge you to read that, it's a picture of the Lord interceding in our behalf. That's the Lord's prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. The sovereign. Notice the teach. That's the school. The schooling. Oh, how you and I need to be taught. We need to be taught to pray. And I read all the books I can read on prayer. And as I read them, I've read the theory of prayer. God never answers, always answers prayer. And I've read them. And you know what I think we ought to do? I think you ought to just forget about theory. And I think you ought to pray. Yes, God's your Father. And we are his children. And we ought to get a hold of a prayer promise and go to God and pray. School of prayer. The master is the instructor. And the Lord taught us precepts. But he also taught us by practice. Oh, we can learn precepts. But we can learn by the practice. We see him praying. I'm always amazed at my dear friend, my dear brother, Brother Bill Wingard. Every time we get in a car, have you ever been in the car with him? What did he do, Pete? He prayed. You ever sit down in the car with him? You pray. You sit down in the car with him before he even fastens the seatbelt, he prays. I sit down in the car with my sister-in-law, I get out. Told I'm afraid. No, I sit down in the car, I begin to think, oh God, I need to pray. We was coming down the road, I think I believe I told you this morning, that storm Wednesday night. She was sitting in the back and she was learning to pray. She was hanging on, holding on. Hey, listen, we need to pray, we need to learn to pray. As well as by precepts, by practice. We need to know by experience to pray. God help us to pray. Enter into God's school and just pray. Talk to Him as you talk to your Heavenly Father. Talk to Him as you talk to your Daddy. You know what the word Abba means? Abba, Father. That means Daddy. Abba. That means my Daddy. I can come to you as my Daddy. Has your kids ever asked you for anything and you wanted to give it to them so badly? And you didn't have it to give and it hurt. And you thought, there's some way I got to give it. I want to give it to them. And they need it. Give the last ounce of blood to my kids. That's the Heavenly Father wants to answer your prayer that way. And He taught us. So Lord, teach us. Lord is the sovereign, teaches the school, us as the saints. Hey, only saints can enroll in this school. Saints are the ones that gets in God's school. You are a saint. Saint's not something painted on the window down here at the Episcopal Church. Somebody said, a little boy said, a saint is what the light shines through. Well, in a sense, that's so. But a saint, pray, Lord, teach us, the saints. Look, now, saint, here's what you ought to have. Number one, you ought to have a place of prayer. When thou prayest, enter to the closet, and when thou shuttest thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Matthew 6:6. Get you a place to pray. I pray going down the road. I pray in my closet. I pray. I pray in the shower. I pray in the bathroom. I pray. I have a prayer. But you need to have a place set aside to where you can pray. Get you, secondly, after you get you a place to pray. And by the way, you make that a habit. Then you get you a prayer list. And you put every one of your preacher friends, or your special needs. I have every one of my preacher friends. I have every prayer request. And as God answers them, I mark them all. You get your... Listen, God answers prayer. One of the worst things you can do is send a kid to school and pay all of his tuition. I'm going to tell you the greatest lessons I learned in college was on my knees praying for God to help me pay the bill. I was working, begging God to help me pay the bill. I worked like a dog. I worked, 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 and then prayed, worked, 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 prayed. And then I said, God, if you don't do it, I'm a goner. You know something? God did it. My wife and I can testify to the fact, honey, you remember the night we said, we're not going to tell anybody. You and I got down and we claimed that promise and we asked the Lord for a special amount. And God sent it in. God answers prayer. And we need a place of prayer. Make that a special habit. Make it a secluded place in thy closet. Special habit, pray. A secluded place in your closet. A secret silence. Shut the door. You have to be a Pharisee. Get somewhere alone and pray. And I never wake up, Brother Iberg. Every morning when I wake up, God being my witness, I look up and say, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to serve you. I love you today. I want to love Him more. Teach me to pray. Seclusion is a good environment in which to talk to God. Have you a quiet place? Can you get somewhere you can get alone and talk to God? Well, I enjoyed getting out on that deer stand talking to the Lord. I enjoyed getting out. Maybe you had 8 or 10 run by me and I didn't even see them. But I enjoyed it. I enjoy getting out and just getting somewhere that I can get alone and just get alone with God. Church, that's the greatest need at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Then notice not only see the place of prayer, the saints, but notice the prerequisites of prayer. Jesus said we must have forgiving spirit. First be reconciled to your brother, then come. You see, you can't come to God if you have a wrong relationship with a brother. You go to your brother and get that relationship right, and then you go to God. Bring your sacrifice. then notice the subject. Lord, teach us to pray. To pray. The pattern of prayer. I don't know how you pray, but there's many patterns of prayer. P-R-A-Y. P-R-A-Y. Pray. How do you... P. That's a time of praise. Praise the Lord. Hey, we dwell so much on our sanctification. We need to get back to our justification and praise God that we've been saved. Hey, don't ever lose the wonder of being saved, that we've been justified. If I'm always introspective and looking to see how sanctified I am, brother, I see how rotten I am. And I'm not minimizing a holy, godly life, but I think you ought to always praise God for saving you. You know, everyone in this church knows when I got saved. January the 19th, 1957, one Saturday night, left-hand side of the road on a newly waxed floor in Madison, West Virginia, about 9:30, I got saved. Well, I've never lost that wonder. Whenever you're in prayer, listen, you say, I can't pray, I can't get through, and it's like I've got to run up against a stone wall, the skies are brass. Just start thanking God, praising God for saving you. Yeah. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you saved me. I never lost it. I'm so glad you saved me. R, repent. You start praising God for saving you. Brother, then there, he brings some sin in your life. You repent. A, then you can ask God. You can adore God. You ask God for... And then why? That's yourself. You can begin to deal with yourself and ask God, oh God, help me that I will do right and I'll be right. Then the power line is prayer. Notice, he says, Jesus prayed. And our Lord, listen, he repeats this. The power, the most powerful thing on earth is prayer. God said, and listen, the prayer of faith is almost omnipotent. Faith is related to the promise of God's Word. And you hold on to that Word, and the Word will not be broken. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. You hang on to that. Nothing is impossible to a living, vital faith. The Lord says, mountains can be removed. Strong men can be bound. Demons can be cast out. Strongholds can be assaulted. The kingdom of heaven can be taken by force. Scones can be made to bread. Oh, you say, Brother Bell, surely all this can't take place. Listen, with God, a sovereign God, nothing is impossible. The weakest saint who hold on by faith to a promise can get a hold of an omnipotent God. Folk, we need to get plugged in. We're praying in the marketplace in this matter of prayer. And I want you to make a promise to God and say, and start out, if you don't do anything else, get you a prayer list. Ask God to give you a prayer list. And you put down all of our missionaries. And you put down your pastor. And you put down your loved ones. And you just make you a personal list. And you make you a list. And every day you get alone and you ask God, God, help me. I want to spend some time praying. And I'm going to pray. And then as God answers them, mark them off. I'm challenging you men this morning as we came here. We shared our prayer promise. As we shared those prayer promises, how it thrilled my heart to hear them this and saying, God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. And I've seen God, hey, I've seen more prayer answered at that little time for 1 hour And you don't, if you can't stay the whole hour, I just promised God I'd go to stay an hour. You don't have to if you can't. If you want to come and go back, hey, I want to just pray. If you want to stay home and pray, you do that. But I want to challenge you to just spend, you're going to get a time to when you're going to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. And I want to challenge you to pray for your pastor. I want to challenge you to pray for the deacons. Pray for the staff. Pray for the church. Pray for your missionaries. Pray. If the success of this ministry depends upon your prayer life, how successful will it be? Oh, we need to pray. My son called the other night and said that a man tried to rob him. And tried to steal his car. And he had $65,000 in the trunk. He was taking it to the bank from the business that he's running. And they saw the man, and the woman began to scream, and he was already in the car. I told my wife, I said, honey, and it brings to reality. There should not be a day go over our head that we do not pray for God to protect our children. God to build a hedge about our missionaries. I think of Dave Landers down there. Down there in Bolivia. I think of Hugh Black. Whenever that storm was coming through Jamaica, I thought, oh God, protect Hugh Black. Pray for our missionaries by name. Pray for them. Pray for each other by name. Pray for church members who are sick. Pray for church members who are cold. Pray, pray, pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Would you just set aside an hour? Would you just set aside a day? Or would you just set aside a time? Would you just say, by the grace of God, I'm going to spend some time in this book and I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to do something in my life this year. Lord, teach us to pray. What was the reason they said that? They were motivated by what they observed. And then secondly, because of what they had obtained. As John taught his disciples. They were motivated by what others had done. What a blessing. They saw John had taught his disciples, and they saw what his disciples had done, and it motivated them. And they said, oh my, Lord, to hear you pray, Lord, if you will just teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples, what we could do, oh God, help us to be motivated by what other people have done. I have 22 pictures of old saints of God that's gone on to be with the Lord. Every one of them is in heaven. And I'm putting them, every one, on my wall in my study. And I know the story of every one of them. And every one of them was a prayer warrior. Every one of them would pray. And I can sit there and I can look up and I can see those men. There's 5 men that has greatly influenced my life. And those men have ever one been men of great power with God because they walked with God in prayer. They had a prayer life. What could be done? Every great revival has started one person praying. Praying. In the home, they began to pray. In the church, they begin to pray. If you will get together in your home, if you will just make God promise, every Thursday night, I'm going to turn off the television, I'm going to take the phone off the hook, and me and my family is going to get alone, and we're going to pray for our church and our pastor, and we're going to spend time in the Word of God, and we're going to spend time praying. If you just make that covenant with God, hey, we'd have revival. If you just promise God, God, I'm going to call every day, I'm going to have a time. I'm going to promise you, Lord, every day I'm going to have a time that I and I pray for my pastor. I'm going to call his name in prayer. I went to school with a fellow by the name of John Winstead. And that was 30 years ago. And every day, every time John Winstead sees me, he says, "I called your name today in prayer, preacher. I called your name today in prayer, preacher." You know what? I put John Winstead on my prayer list. We ought to be ashamed of our prayerlessness. When the Lord Jesus prayed as much as He did, admonished us, commanded us, the Word of God is full. That is the sin of the church, is the sin of prayerlessness. You know what we're teaching our children? It's not important. No wonder they don't pray. It's not important. No wonder they don't study their Bible. It's not important. Mom and Dad doesn't. It's not important. Amen. Come on. It's not important. They don't hear Mama in the bedroom weeping and praying. They don't see the missionaries' prayer cards and know that Mama calls and Dad calls every name of those missionaries. Your kids know whether you're a prayer warrior or not. No wonder our kids don't pray. No wonder they don't read their Bible. No wonder they don't study. No wonder there's not a reality. Because we have never said, "Lord, teach us to pray." This year, let's ask God to teach us to pray. They observed what Jesus had done, and because they were motivated because of what John had done, we ought to be motivated because it's the power of God that is at our disposal. Lord, teach us to pray. And then on a testimony night, you can share God's answer to prayer. I shared with you this morning an answer to prayer. I got down my study and I said, "Lord, give me something to be a blessing to the Raw Raven family." Little did I know, Isaiah 40:11 was the verse that they had claimed for their baby when he was born, or whenever he was conceived. And they wrote it in the margin of her Bible. And that is the verse that God gave me for that message. And what a comfort and what a blessing it was. With tears in my eyes, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer." God answered prayer this afternoon. I was so tired whenever I went home. I prayed and I said, "Lord, I want to lay down and take a nap. Don't let the phone ring." It didn't. Really, that was an answer to prayer. Why you say, "Brother, I would guarantee you some of you started to call me and said, 'I'm not going to call the preacher.'" And what the Lord said, put brakes on, said, "Hold it back up a little bit. I don't mind you calling me, but I just prayed for you not to. I just prayed for the Lord to give me a nap." Hey, if you pray, your kids are going to pray. Brother Fu, you ever prayed for food? Your kids, did they know that God answered that prayer? Yeah. I want you to hear his testimony at permission. Don't you miss that testimony. How God has answered. God answers prayer. Prayed for a car, God gave him a car. Prayed for food, God gave him food. Prayed for a little place to live, God gave him a place to live. I mean, he's a fool for Christ. Brother Food is a fool for Christ. He believed God answered prayer. See how God answered prayer. Let's ask the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's bow our head for prayer.